When injury takes you out of the game, it's time for your team to step up. At Allina Health Orthopedics, you'll get expert care backed by a whole health system of providers. With convenient locations, virtual options, and an app that gives you 24/7 access to your records, test results, and care team, you're always close to the care you need. Schedule now at alinahealth.org/ortho.
I'm Justin McMaster, and you're listening to Sound of the Looms.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, depending on when this finds you. Welcome to the Sound of the Loons, presented by Allina Health Orthopedics. I'm Steve McPherson, and as we get ready for the season opener on Friday, April 16th against Seattle Sounders, we've put together a bunch of interviews that I did on production day with the players. Last episode, we focused on goalkeepers and defenders, and now we're going to be getting into midfielders and attackers. So let's jump right into it with longtime Loon, Ethan Finley. So, Ethan, how's it going? I mean, I feel like I haven't seen you in a year at this point because I saw you play a lot of soccer last year, but it was obviously kind of an unusual year. How was, briefly, that whole experience of starting the season, having to shut down, MLS is back, coming back to playing in stadiums but without fans. Like, how did you navigate all of that just on yourself?
Yeah, it's been strange. There's been a lot of faces, obviously, today being production day. There's a lot that goes into it. And so I have seen a lot of faces that either I haven't seen in a long time or I haven't seen, you know, without maybe a mask on. So it's been definitely strange, and we continue to navigate our way through it. But, you know, saying that, it was difficult, but I thought we learned a lot about our group last year. We dealt with a lot of challenges, whether it be, you know, some major injuries that we had start of the year, to, you know, dealing with COVID, dealing with players being out, dealing with, you know, guys having to navigate those challenging times. And you know, I look at the MLS SPAC tournament just in particular, and I thought how we performed down there, no one probably would have had us, you know, in that final four going into that tournament. Even with the hot start that we had, you know, at the start of the 2020 season, being 2-0 and right at the top of the West. So, I think, you know, I was really proud of how the group responded there and the challenges that we faced, you know, being away from our families for 41 days, was very difficult. And then, you know, you move into the season and the challenge of having to travel day of, to be, you know, it was nice, obviously, to be coming home right away after games to see your families and not have to think about COVID and staying in hotels and whatnot. But it was some late nights, absolutely. And just because of our travel schedule and location-wise, you know, we had to, you know, travel quite a long ways to play teams like Seattle, to play teams like Houston. Those are two-hour minimum flights. And so you got back late in the night, but I thought, Our group continued to get better and better, and we saw that we were peaking at the right time, and then we made a great playoff run, and unfortunately came up a little bit short.
So looking back at, you know, MLS is back and that good run, a deep run into the playoffs, a U.S. Open Cup run before that, you know, you hear sometimes people talk about this as, you know, a tournament team or a team that thrives in those kind of situations. Do you feel like Minnesota United is becoming one of those teams that, like, in those moments where you're going game by game in elimination situations, that you guys are learning how to grit those out and really do something?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that it's competition based. I think that this team's, you know, mantra has now become, we're going to be very difficult to play against, whether it's a regular season game or whether it's an Open Cup. You know, Adrian, the way he's approached it, he is he's going to play whatever squad he thinks will get the job done on that day. And what I thought we developed last year, you know, without the Defender of the Year, in fact, was a team that was very difficult to play against defensively. Mm-hmm. You know, I look back and I think of Kansas City first half, we got absolutely outplayed, dominated in that first half. But from then on, there wasn't a game, you know, while we were in Florida and then even in the regular season where I felt like we were outmatched the way that we were during that time. And I think we'd learned a lot about ourselves and we started to grow. We had a lot of veteran leaders on the team and we just became a very difficult team to play against. We knew that if we had good shape and we defensively grinded games out with the 10 guys behind the ball, when we got the ball, we were going to be able to score and make opportunities. And if that meant we were going to win a game 1-0 and it wasn't going to be extremely beautiful, so be it. That was kind of what we took ownership of that. And, you know, we saw, you know, I think back about the Kansas City playoff game, and I think back about how Kevin played in that game and how Ray was in that game. And so while we were difficult to play against and we probably generated a lot of things defensively and frustrated teams, when we got those opportunities, we did something pretty special with it, and we were able to play some attractive soccer.
Are you looking forward to picking up sort of where you left off? I mean, with going back to Seattle, you know, for that chance right away to say like, all right, let's go back to where, you know, it all unfortunately ended sooner than you wanted last year. Is that a nice opportunity to start that way?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I view every year as like it's totally new. You know, because it doesn't matter if we go there and beat them 6-0, right?
Mm-hmm. They
you know, they advanced to the final and they had that opportunity to win the MLS Cup, and you know, that won't change. And by winning this game, it won't give us that opportunity. It'll start us off on a really good start. Don't get me wrong. So I genuinely, you know, this is going to be a different team we're going to play against. There'll be different players on the field. The environment will just be naturally different. And what we need to do is we need to learn from what happened in that game and how we, in a way, let that go, because you're going to play in places like Seattle and Portland that are going to be really tough places, and teams that play to the very last second of the game, and they play hard. And when you have a lead in places like that, you have to be able to close it out, whether it's regular season, whether it's playoffs, whether it's an Open Cup final. And that's a hurdle that we need to make a big jump this season if we want to raise some hardware.
Awesome. Thanks, Ethan. Next, we've got Ja'Cory Hayes, who was one of last year's most pleasant revelations at midfielder. How's it going, man?
It's going well.
How is preseason shaping up for you? I feel like the consensus has been that it was like a long off season.
Yeah.
So how is the process of sort of getting back into it going?
It's been quite refreshing because, like you said, it's been a long off season. So I'm just looking forward to, you know, our upcoming trip next week to Florida and, you know, getting some warm weather. I haven't had that in a couple months either, so things are looking up.
Yeah, nice. So for getting in that preseason trip, going down to Orlando, playing against Charleston Battery, playing against a couple of MLS teams, what is that? You know, obviously that level of competition is a little, it's not the season, you know, guys are getting into shape. What does that do for you guys sort of as a whole team to get you guys to that game shape?
Yeah, I mean, we've been training hard here, but, you know, playing against other teams is kind of like a measuring stick to see like where we're at compared to, you know, the other teams. We're playing some good competition down there, so... you know, Columbus is preparing for their Champions League, so they're going to be a tough matchup, and, you know, they're looking to be, you know, match ready, you know, right now, looking for their early game. So, you know, a good game against them before the season even starts, I think, can bode well for us, confidence going into the actual games.
Yeah, and as far as going to those actual games, I think everybody's thinking about the fact that you're going to Seattle, where it sort of all came to an end last season, a little short of where you guys wanted to get to. But what does that mean for you to be able to sort of start off, you know, where you ended off? Some guys have said, well, it's a long season, it's just the first game, but does it give it a little extra pop to know that that's how you got to start?
Yeah, I mean, it's a long season, so that's a way to downplay the game. But, you know, it's also the first game of this season, so you want to start off on the right foot. And, you know, a big win away at Seattle can, you know, set the tone for the next few weeks of the beginning of the season.
Yeah, it would be the first away win, I think, in Seattle, which would be pretty sweet for the club, I think.
Set some records, you know.
Excellent. All right, Ja'Cory, thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.
Jan Gregoosh is likely once again to be an important component for the team in central midfield as he teams up with newcomers, including Will Trapp. How's it going?
Good, man. Thank you.
How is your off season as far as recovery, getting away a little bit from it, and then getting energized to come back?
It was long, man.
That's what everybody's been saying. It's really long.
It was really long because, like, usually we are used to maybe have like two months off, mm-hmm. and then get back it. But like now it was maybe like almost four or something like that. So it's been quite a time. And first, like after a season, I tried to relax a little bit. I went for a vacation and then spent some time with my family. But after like a month or so, I had like a feeling like I need to go back to United States already because it's been quite a while, yeah.
Yeah, did you get sick of your family or...
I wouldn't say sick of them, but there's definitely been a moment when I was like, okay, I love you, but I want to go now. You know what I mean?
Yes, I think a lot of us over the last year probably experienced a moment with our families where we're like, sure. I would like to get out of here.
It's healthy.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, you played some international games sort of toward the end of last season, stuff like that. How was the international experience been, especially with, you know, COVID protocols and doing all that stuff?
Well, if we look at, like, the results we had, like, it's been amazing because we were on the road to make Euros, and, like, we had, I think, 3 games to go because we didn't go from the first 2 positions straight, so we need to fight for it really hard. And that's what we did. Luckily, we made the Euros, and now we are on the qualification for the World Cup as well. So it's going to be a busy schedule, but I love that.
Yeah, it's already the MLS schedule is already going to be compressed. Yeah. So you're just throwing a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah, true that.
As far as the preseason stuff, now preseason about 3 weeks down, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, this is your 3rd season, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. 3rd season here. So. How is the team looking? Do you feel like you've sort of figured out how to deal with the preseason stuff here and how to sort of get into shape and get what you need out of it?
Yeah, I mean, like, I got a feeling like what we are doing and everything, and the team looks good. We have some new faces in the building, very talented ones. So, yeah, I hope we're going to have a good run again. But, yeah, like I said many times, we want to win something. That's the ambition. And we were really close last year. And we really want to make it happen this one.
Yeah. So, like, looking at some new faces, like Will Trapp is coming in, also a midfielder, probably somebody you're going to be spending some time with out there on the pitch at some point. What have you seen from Will? You know, have you gotten to know him and gotten to know his game a little bit?
Oh, Will is a very intelligent guy. He always wants to give his best. Very talented player and a very intelligent guy, like I said. He knows what he's here for, and he works hard. So, yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And for you yourself, again, sort of in your 3rd season, like what are you looking to do this year to sort of add to your game, contribute in new ways?
Yeah, like I said before, start of the every season, help to the team, even if it's with the assist or goals, and be there for the team. When the team needs me, I want to be there for it also always, and just make something happen as a team. And we need individuals to happen. And I want to be one of those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. As far as looking at the season, you know, season opener's coming up April 17th, starting against Seattle Sounders, just where the season ended last year. Is that, do you look forward to that chance to sort of say, let's just go right back into it, sort of go back into, you know, where it all ended last year and set things a little bit right and get started the right way?
Yeah. I mean, what the best way to be back at that place and have a revenge so fast, let's say, because we all felt that we were so close, and like I think around 80 minutes still winning by 1 or 2 goals. So that was definitely a painful one, but like I said, very very glad that it's them that we play the first game, and I hope we're gonna have a nice revenge.
Yeah. So, and then April 24th is the home opener against RSL. Mm-hmm. Always a fun game. It seems like Minnesota United's been good, especially against RSL at home, a good opponent to face. And fans in the stadium, hopefully. I mean, we're still figuring out exact outlines. But, you know, everybody so far I've talked to talking about this has just said that it's hard to express how much fans being there really matters for how the game feels and how the team feels out there on the pitch. Is that your feeling as well?
Oh, for sure. Like, so much was, like, told about it, like fans, regarding the fans and everything about it. So, yeah, last year we basically, I should say, like, maybe forget how to play in front of fans. So that was a weird experience for every player, I think. And I would be so happy if, like, if it can be at least, like, either 50% or whatever percent of the capacity, because, yeah, like you said, with the fans, it's completely different atmosphere. And when you think about it, you play for the fans, you know. to make them feel good, to make them feel proud, and stuff like this. And yeah, with them in the stands, it's so much nicer.
Yeah. Did you still get the last season like some sense of the fans from things like social media or anything like that? Like, did you?
Oh, for sure.
I feel like a lot of people were really vocal about their support, even though they couldn't be there in person.
Yeah, for sure. I felt that, and I want to say thanks. Thanks for that. Of course, especially when we were in the bubble and we were doing really well, I felt so much support from here, and I would like to say like really, really big thanks for that.
Yeah. The team has also had, between, you know, the U.S. Open Cup run two seasons ago, the MLS's back run, a good run into the playoffs. There's been a lot of success in some of those formats that are like the single elimination tournament formats. What do you think goes into, you know, a team being successful in those kind of situations where it's sort of game by game you could get eliminated?
I think we grew into it, to be honest, because it was something completely new for every team, let's say. But we've been doing well, and I think it comes down to just like really be a good group of guys, you know, like be a good team and care about each other and work hard every single day. And then afterwards, it will show on the pitch, you know. If you work hard, then you're gonna see it in the results. So that's our like main thing, you know, to work hard every single day and get better, and the results will come.
Excellent. Jan, thanks for coming by.
Oh, thank you very much.
Let's hear from Jukka Raitala, who joins Minnesota after several years with Club de Foot Montreal, as he's reunited with Finland national teammate Robin Lund. Let's talk a little bit just about training, you know, like getting into that mode of preseason training. It's obviously something you've gone through with, you know, with clubs before.
Yeah.
What does it do for you and then for the group as a whole, just to get that sort of get the preseason stuff going?
No, I mean, like, obviously we talked about it in the previous podcast, but like we had a so long off season. So right. I think everybody was just like excited to get back to the work and, you know, start building up for the season. And obviously for me as a new player, it's like, obviously it was exciting to the first couple of days to get to know people and get to know the coach and how things are working out here. And you know, it's just daily, sometimes it's tough. Like you train a couple of times a day and you feel sore, you feel tired, but you know, that's an amazing feeling because you know that when you get through that, you know, you're gonna fly at some point. So it's looking good, and I think we're working hard, and you know, so far so good.
Yeah. So for, I think sometimes people don't appreciate that, you know, for a professional athlete, like you talk about the length of the layoff, and it's, you know, it's months or whatever like that. You know, some people don't, are like, well, I didn't run all winter and I didn't do anything, and they're getting back into it. When you're a pro athlete, it's like every little bit you're not training, it really drops down quite a bit. Can you like sort of speak to that experience? I know it's the thing that Robin Lund went through coming in mid-season after he had been off. So like for a pro athlete, like how quick is that descent from like peak fitness down to I don't feel as fit as I should be?
I think I can only obviously talk about like personally how I feel, but I mean like if I take a couple of weeks off, you start to realize that you lose the fitness, you lose the strength. But on the other hand, I think it's also important to be able to, when you have opportunity, to really recover and relax. So I think like going like 100% all the time, you know, can be dangerous. But I mean, I'm 32 years old. I've been around for a long time. I think I know my body pretty well, like what's good for me and what's not. And you know, try to take care of myself, knowing that I have less years in front of me than past me in my career. So, you know, just trying to enjoy. And obviously a big part of that is to take care of my body.
Yeah. Excellent. Rookie Justin McMaster has looked good in preseason, including scoring a goal as he gets adjusted to the life of a professional footballer. How's it going? I believe last time I talked to you was over a computer screen.
I remember, you know,
I still have not gotten a haircut since then, so it's getting it's getting out of control right now. But
it's been good.
Yeah. So what is your arrival in Minnesota like? I mean, I remember we were talking about whether you had a winter coat or not. It's been pretty mild so far. What's it been like to get here and get started with training?
It's been good. Really exciting to be joining the group. I joined the group this week after quarantining for a little bit and The training has been really intense. The quality has been good. Players have been sharp. So definitely excited to get down to Florida and just keep pushing with the team and building some relationships with the guys on the team.
Yeah, so if you've just been here the last week, it has been pretty. There was a little snow. Did you get here when it was snowing?
Oh yeah, the weather's been decent. It hasn't been too bad. So I hope it stays like this for a while.
Yeah, I think we're past the worst of it. We might have one more snowstorm. There's always. I feel like there's one in April. But then it melts and goes away pretty quickly. Well, but you're gonna go down to Orlando. You get to play on grass. You get to actually get out there and do all that stuff. Are you looking forward to that chance to get in and play against some MLS competition?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely looking forward to playing against some other MLS teams. I have friends who are joining other MLS teams as well.
Nice.
And who will be down there. So I look forward to playing them and, beating them, of course, and bragging after, So, yeah, I'm really excited for that.
That's great. Have you, how has it been meeting the other young guys or some of the young newcomers on the team so far?
Yeah, it's been cool linking up with the other guys because, they worked hard and they earned this position. So just being around them and seeing them work hard also motivates me to work hard as well. And we've all been talking about training and just keeping up with each other, it's been good. It's been really good.
So also some good news that it looks like there's going to be able to be some fans in the building now going, forward into Allianz Field. What's the largest number of people you've played in front of before?
Around 8,000.
Okay.
8,000, yeah.
So I don't know if we even get up to that at the beginning, but I still think it's going to be pretty exciting to be in Allianz Field, I'm sure, for the first time.
Yeah, for sure. Just seeing pictures of it. I haven't toured it as yet, but the pictures I've seen are definitely mind-blowing. The stadium is just beautiful, so I'm looking forward to being on the field and just being in the atmosphere. I've heard a lot about the atmosphere, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah. So as far as, looking at 2021, obviously 2020 was very weird for everybody. I know it was weird for you as well in soccer and in the college level and everything like that. Do you have any sort of expectations or things that you want to try to accomplish this year, in your sort of first season in MLS?
Yeah, for sure. Just solidifying my spot in the team and just helping the team move forward for sure and help the team win a trophy. Mm-hmm. I always set high goals for myself and I know that this team has a lot of potential and I'm willing to give my all for the team so that we can go far and potentially win a trophy at the end of the season.
Excellent. Justin, thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Danish winger Nico Hansen joins the team from Houston Dynamo. Let's chat. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
you sort of are newly arrived. I mean, you've been here for a little while, newly sort of announced. Yep. So how is it feeling so far? How is settling in, getting to know the team, getting started with preseason?
It's great. It seems like a great team. I was really excited about coming here. I know it took a little while, but, it's been a warm welcome and getting to know the guys, getting to know the staff and everything. And I'm really excited about the future here.
How was the last season for you? 2020 was such an odd year. Right. Like what was your experience of that as a player and just as a person?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely an interesting time as far as soccer goes. I think I look back on it with a little bit of gratitude. I got to spend some extra time, with my fiance's family and do some things, but soccer-wise I look back with a lot of excitement and I got to play a lot and then continue to grow as a player and person. And I'm excited to see how that's going to translate to this year.
And so you're coming from Houston, which is like the hottest place anybody ever goes to play soccer. And now it's in Minnesota, which in the summer is rather pleasant, but obviously a reputation as being cold. The season will probably start a little cold and a little cold.
Yep.
As a temperature guy, are you do you like it to be hot or do you like it to be cold?
Oh, cold.
Okay.
Cold always, man. The heat is, I have my heavy sweater, so as soon as you like hit the 80 degrees, like my back is wet. So I appreciate the cold. I mean, I grew up in Denmark, so it's cold weather there too. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm used to the temperate weather.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about growing up in Denmark and then making the move to the U.S. I mean, first of all, your childhood in just cover your childhood in a few minutes for me now. But, what was that experience and then making the transition to the
childhood
US?
In a few minutes. Yeah,
right.
That's the question right there. No, I grew up in Denmark, lived there till I was 10. Awesome. I have some of my best friends still from there. I would go back once I moved to the U.S. I would go back every summer And then when I got older, became a pro, I would go back, you know, every winter, like off-season time. So I still have tons of friends there, tons of family. My dad's side of the family is all from there. But moved to California when I was 10 with my mom and my sister. Spent good years there in Sacramento. Went to school, Jesuit high school. I went to the University of Mexico for college. Mm-hmm. Got recruited there. Had a great time, met my fiance there in college. Have great friends from there as well. Have great friends from high school as well, actually, too. So I always say, like, I have best friends from different phases of my life.
Sure.
From Denmark, from high school time, like in Sacramento and California, and then from college. So it's been, and now I'm in a different phase of my life too, making great friends. So it's been a great journey so far.
Yeah. Are you a person who collects friends that way? Like, are you good at keeping up with people and staying in touch with them?
Yeah. I mean, yes and no. I think there's definitely a level of you get together with someone. I'm a very personable kind of guy. When you're in person, it's like we didn't lose any time. So mm-hmm. I think as far as like FaceTiming and stuff like that, I try my best. It's not like every week, but yeah, it's good. It's good fun to be able to see friends, and I definitely think like I collect friends as I go.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Last thing I wanted to ask you, because I'm always curious about this for people. Danish food, like something that you love that you get in Denmark.
Oh man, I always say that the Danes love their potatoes.
Okay.
They make every meal, every dinner. There's always some kind of potato, whether it's fries, grilled potatoes, mashed potatoes, potato au gratin, or whatever it may be. There's always potatoes at the meal. So I think they make delicious stuff there. I mean, it's they have a bunch of good meats. Everything's fresh. I feel like mm-hmm. It comes from local. So people are actually, we talked about this a lot. People are healthy there because they eat from sometimes their neighbor. They make the stuff down the street.
Nice, yeah. Nice. Well, my heritage is Irish, so there's some potatoes going on.
A lot of potatoes.
All right. Nigo Hansen, good to meet you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
After gutting it out through a rough first campaign in 2019, Robin Lutt broke through last year in the attack and will be looking for more of the same this year. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Good to see you.
The same.
I wanted to ask you about, start with, asking about Yuka and having a countryman on the team. First of all, what's your background with him? Like, how long have you guys sort of known each other?
I think we have we played together a few years in the national team. I mean, we are pretty much from the same city.
Oh, nice.
Pretty close growing up, but I think he's just a few years older. That we never get like cross the paths in soccer. So when Yuka was playing in Helsinki, I was in the youth teams, and when I get to the first team, you guys already playing abroad. So
okay.
So we get to know each other better on the national team when we both played there. So couple years.
Yeah, nice. And so what's the experience of just, having a fellow Finn on the team now?
It's nice. I mean, it was nice for me when I came and Rasmus was here, and he always helps when you have somebody from your country and understands you. So it's really nice to have Jukka here, and every now and then I can speak Finnish, so I don't have to speak with my broken English. So that's nice.
I think your English is pretty good. Sounds good to me. So, your first season here, you came in midway through after having been off for a while. It seems like it was tough to kind of find the groove.
Yeah.
Last season was incredibly difficult for everybody with the starting and stopping and all this stuff, but you did seem to really find your feet and sort of get a comfortability with the team and sort of the way the team played. What did it take for you to sort of get to that point where you're like, I feel comfortable playing here now?
No, I think it was just, as I always said, in the first year when I came, there was just so many things happening, moving across the world and having my daughter birth and all of these things, and then just adjusting the MLS style of play. And I think the pre-season before the last season was really helpful. You get to know the guys and just start to work hard and being in a good condition starting the season. So that obviously helped me out.
That in terms of conditioning, a couple guys have said that this has been a really long off season. Have you found it harder to get sort of back up to speed, or do you feel like it's snapping back into place now?
I don't know. I think for me it was nice to have a little bit longer off season, just everything going on with the world at the moment, and just stop for a while and just spend time with my family, and it was really important for me. So that was nice. But in the other hand, as I said, coming for the preseason, I think it's a little bit tougher, but you just have to mentally prepare that you just have to work harder the few weeks before the season. So
sure.
I'm enjoying it.
And how old is your daughter now?
She's turning 2 in July, so she's a little bit over 1.5 years.
Yes, that's a great window. I have 2 daughters, and that time of sort of 1.5 to 2, it really, they start walking and communicating. What is fatherhood been like for you? Like, have you just jumped into it and embraced it?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's just the best thing in the world. I just love to watch my daughter doing silly things and just seeing her growing up. It's been amazing. I just try to enjoy all the time. I think it's the best thing in the world.
You've got a pretty good sort of fraternity of dads on the team between, you know, Boxy and a bunch of other guys who have experience. Like, do you guys lean on each other for sort of talking about what it's like as far as bringing up children?
Yeah, I think the best thing is just to share the experience with someone in the same situation. I think that helps a lot. And I don't know, all the kids are different, so I don't know if you can ask that many advices, but the most important thing is to share the experience.
Yeah, a lot of showing videos and photos and things like that. So it's great as they start talking. There's just they say the most ridiculous things that are so adorable.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
So looking ahead to this season, you know, obviously last season was, again, so disruptive and odd, and we're going to start, there's probably going to be some of that going on this season. What are your, you know, expectations? Like, what do you see happening just as far as, you know, not even success, but just the experience of this season, what you're expecting is going to happen?
I mean, we know little bit more, I said, than last season, how all the protocols goes and how to play. I'm really excited to get the fans back to the stadium. I mean, that's why we like this game so much, to go there and inspire people. And I think it feels different when the fans are on the stadium, and it what all that makes matter.
Yeah, so the return of fans is probably going to be the big thing. Even if it's just a couple thousand, that'll still make a huge difference, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Especially our fans, they are loud, even though there are a few, not maybe the full stadium, but
right.
Loud, so that's nice.
Particularly loud, you would say. as far as picking up sort of where you guys left off last season, you know, you have going back to Seattle right away. Is it good in your mind to get that out of the way right away, just go back and sort of face, I don't know if you have demons from losing at that point, but I mean, I know everybody's disappointed when it happens, but like, are you looking forward to starting that season that way?
Yeah, I think it's nice to go back there and maybe get a revenge from the last season. I mean, it was a tough loss, but at the same time, I think the season is long, so there's plenty of games coming ahead in this season, so I'm just happy to get started. Doesn't matter if it's in Seattle or else, but I'm really exciting also for the home opener for sure.
Yeah, you can't come to any conclusions after just one game, so
yeah.
All right, thanks Robin.
Thank you.
At the still relatively young age of 28, Will Trapp brings a veteran's experience to the squad, as well as a bit of a different look at the number 6 position. Will, I believe I have now spent more time with you in the last month than I have with my father in the last year. So I don't know how much more we have to talk about until actual games start happening. But how do you like the jersey? I'll ask you that since you're wearing the jersey. I don't think I've talked to anybody yet today about the jersey. But, you know, what's your take?
No, super cool. I mean, I think obviously we're in the land of 10,000 lakes and anything with water makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
But no, I think they're lovely, and it's a cool homage to where we are, and hopefully we win a lot of games in them.
do players talk about and worry about the jerseys as much as fans do? Like, I feel like when the jerseys come out, fans are like, this is good, this is bad, this is the best, this is terrible. Like, do you guys think about this a lot, or is it just like, I put this on and I have to, and I play it, you're excited to play in it because it's a team, but like, do you care that much?
I think we care, sure.
Yeah.
I think first and foremost in the player's mind is you don't want to look dumb.
Sure.
But on top of it, the next thing is probably like, okay, is it comfortable? Does
right.
it fit well? Like, because that's what you're wearing on the field and you just want to be comfortable. So priority, not looking stupid. Second, is it comfortable?
Right. So the overall aesthetic value is a little bit less than material, and sort of you're going to be wearing this week in and week out, and you want it to work for you. So
I would say so.
Yeah. How is this material? Like, I feel like each year there's a little different. They try different things with how it wicks and things like that.
Sure.
Like, what do you like in a material?
I mean, I think lightness is key. How it does kind of, does it absorb too much moisture?
Sure.
I mean, I guess we'll find out when we're down in Florida for preseason.
Probably sweat down there.
Exactly. but that type of stuff goes a long way of just realizing, okay, is it light? Is it comfortable? Is it stifling in any way? And then how does it absorb? And I feel like Adidas every year does a good job of evolving.
Yeah, yeah. The materials, I don't do a lot of running around in my jersey, but when I put it on, sure. It feels nice and breathable.
Yeah.
I don't want to ruin it, you know, with my sweat. So, this year's jersey, I have to say, at first I was like, it looks very plain. And then, first of all, the pattern is actually nice on it, like the embossed pattern. And then as I wore it, I began to sort of appreciate that the simplicity was kind of nice. It feels kind of wearable. It looks a little more like you can put a hoodie over it, and it seems like almost like it's a regular shirt, which is obviously nowadays the style element is a big part of it, right?
Yeah, I think it makes noise without being too loud,
yeah.
If that makes sense. It has a subtlety to it, which I think...
You should get into copywriting. That sounds great.
Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. I think it does a really good job of, once again, being subtle, but also, like, it's recognizable, right? That's the best thing for fan bases. We want people to know, like, okay, that's Minnesota United. And
yeah.
I think this does exactly that.
Yeah. So as far as the on-field stuff, I mean, we know we talked like a week and a half ago, mm-hmm. I feel like. But obviously that's a lifetime ago in terms of preseason training, because you're getting to know all these guys. It's you know, a new setting and things like that. How have things been going with the team overall since then? You're getting ready now to go down to Orlando. How do you feel about heading down to Orlando with the team, how it is right now?
Yeah, I think since we last spoke, we've now had two types of scrimmages, one against ourselves, one against an outside opponent. And that's always good to just kind of play against someone else. I think today was a wonderful experience for us to just be in an environment where it's not fully controlled and it's more normalized in terms of soccer from a competitive perspective. And with that comes the ability now to relate to your teammates, connect with your teammates, and kind of unveil what that looks like and feels like on the field. And for me, I think it's been really, really positive. Getting to really see what guys like on the field, see how they are on the field, and then ultimately try to make those relationships work.
Yeah, I imagine there's a certain amount of stuff that you just can't, you know, even talking to guys, if they're like, this is how I play or this is what I like, when you see it happen, like every game must be a sort of learning experience, as in your head you're going, oh, okay, that's where he is. This is how he likes to run and things like that.
Well, and also there's different stimuli every single game, right? That's the beauty of soccer. It changes every opponent moments within the game. So how each guy deals with pressure, with time, with all those things allow you as a teammate to now understand, okay, these are things that he's good at. These are things that I can help him with or whatever. And that stuff can only be recreated by playing.
Yeah.
You can train, but... until you're in game environments where it's you have to adapt and evolve, you don't see that.
Yeah, this came up last year, 2 years ago, I guess. I didn't really get to talk to anybody last year about soccer, I feel like. But this thing of, you know, I've come to appreciate in soccer, it happens in every sport to some extent. But I feel like especially in soccer, given the size of the field, you know, the speed at which the game moves, which can both be incredibly fast and sort of deliberate and slow, the roles of like problem solving and decision making and how much that you know, influences how good a player can be. And this is a thing I talked to Noel Quinn, who's the director of the youth development program here, about that. And that's one of the main things they're looking at in youth soccer is like, how do they make decisions under pressure?
Yeah, critical,
and that's sort of what you're saying about
thinking,
that.
Sure.
Yeah. So absolutely. What is that? Like, how do you learn those kind of things from, do you see that in other players? You see like, this is a good decision. This is the decision this is the kind of decision maker this guy is.
Yeah. I mean, the best decision makers are the best players in the world.
Sure.
I mean, if you've ever watched Lionel Messi, you see someone who, no matter if there's three guys on him or there's one guy on him, he's able to find the perfect solution every time. Obviously, that's the best ever.
Right.
Arguably, for some people.
Sure.
Not for Will.
I
think that quality is something that's subtle, but so important because our game changes second to second. And whether you're up a man, down a man, up a goal, down a goal, or just the team they're playing against is pressing or they're sitting back, like you're having to now find in each moment the right decision. And the culmination of all the right decisions either dictate if you win the game or you don't win the game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fascinating to watch. It's like a simple and complex game. It's one of those things.
Well, we don't get to stop it and then draw up a play and then say hike. And you know what I'm saying? Like
right. There's
something amazing about what they do as well, but
sure. We
don't have that opportunity.
Yeah. In football, not soccer, football.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Americano.
Will, thanks for coming by.
Thanks, dude.
Forward Foster Langsdorf came to the team just a week before his former team, Reno 1868 of the USL, folded. Talk to him a little bit about that. How's it going?
I'm tired.
You're tired. How are you? I'm a little tired too. It's been a long day, and I didn't even have to do anything athletic. So, one of the things I'm really curious about, you know, you came into the team sort of partway through the season last year where, you know, obviously, we didn't have a normal season, and we didn't get to see players or anything like that. I was interested in to hear about your experience of being with Reno coming up, and then just a couple of days later, Reno just disappears. I mean, it's crazy,
it's really
right?
Sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sad just because it was a great organization, and it was led by people that are really good at their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you looked at just at the team's record, we had made the playoffs every single year since the team had come to the United Soccer League. And so it's just a real shame to see such a great club and organization that go under. And unfortunately, I was only there for a season.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess they would get a lot of fans, too. And kind of being one of the smaller market teams, they got a lot more fans than, like, teams that had bigger markets.
Yeah.
So it just is a shame. I hope soccer returns to Reno eventually.
Yeah, it's tough out there. Lower division soccer, it's, you know, it's always an up and down affair. You know, obviously Minnesota United came up from NASL, and you know, it's like, I remember I knew some people who worked. I didn't work for the team when they were in NASL, but I knew people who did, and it's like, you know, every season it's sort of what's going to happen. Minnesota United was almost not a team. It was owned by the league, and it was going to go away, and then it was bought, and then eventually shepherded into MLS. So it's a tough thing out there.
Yeah. Was it a USL team before, or
it was NASL?
NASL.
Yeah, it was a couple different the sort of the history of soccer in Minnesota is sort of an up and down long affair that goes through a couple different odd leagues, but they were the North Stars, or the Minnesota Stars. North Stars was the hockey team. They were the Minnesota Stars NSC. They were owned by NSC and they played up here. And then were about to be folded. They were like owned by they couldn't be owned by NSC, and then they were owned by the NASL. And then they were bought by Bill McGuire, who's now one of the part of the ownership group, and basically turned into Minnesota United, and then sort of built it up to then make the leap up to MLS. But I know a lot of great teams in the lower divisions who have a lot of success. It's just, it's tough, you know, and especially this past year, I know it's really difficult.
Yeah. And not to be controversial, but you see some of, like, my friends that play for some USL clubs, like, they haven't even started their preseason yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have other USL clubs like Louisville, like they started their preseason like earlier than we did here.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like some of the decision-making behind that is just, and these guys, their pay also coincidentally starts like when preseason starts.
So yeah.
I just feel bad because, you know, there are so many great players in USL, and just like myself, like I got the opportunity to play in the MLS, like just from doing well in the USL and being at a great club. And I don't know, I just think there's a lot of like hidden gems in USL.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's one of those things that I hope as soccer continues to grow in the US, it becomes more robust and stable, and it becomes, I mean, that's one of the things it's, you know, like I think one of Minnesota United's big things, and sort of had to change the way the youth development stuff was doing. It was going here. It was the academy for a while. Now it's youth development program. But to develop that sort of pathway and that feeling for kids who are playing soccer now, that there's a way to go from where they are to playing in MLS, and there's like a pathway to get there. So.
Yeah, I played for the Portland Timbers Academy growing up, and I think just the experience I got from seeing how pros were acting when, like, I saw that they're eating right, they're taking care of their bodies, and I was 14 years old, 15 years old. I knew none of that shit
before. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You're just drinking energy drinks or whatever.
Yeah, it gives you at least something to look forward to and go, like, I want to be like them, and I'll ask them for advice. And
yeah.
I just think it's the coolest thing.
Yeah. So we're now, you know, 3 weeks into preseason. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to the team going to Orlando. You know, your first chance to have preseason with the club. What's the experience been like?
The experience has been it's been good. I'm somewhat of a new guy, and I feel like when you're the new person and one of the younger guys, like, you're there to be seen and not heard at first.
Sure. But
I have to remind myself in a way that there are, like, younger guys beneath me that that I also need the help out and mm-hmm. like give encouragement to, like, because they're my teammates, and kind of like tell them this is how you should be acting in this setting, because not to downgrade myself, I've also, like, I didn't get to play much, but I was a part of the Timbers for two
sure.
seasons and here now. And so I think I'm at a kind of a new stage in my career where I feel like I get to teach the younger guys a little bit about a culture and, like, how to take care of themselves and just kind of pick them up.
Yeah.
As I once was. So I think it is kind of fun. It's a new role.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah, it's a thing that's come up again and again today, which is just hearing from guys how, you know, whether the guys are veterans, MLS veterans, or new veterans who are coming to the club, mm-hmm. or new guys, rookies, or younger guys, that there's just a good mix there of older guys who have experience and can share it willingly yeah. and openly with younger guys, and younger guys who bring a kind of energy and excitement yeah. and some of that sort of that joy for life, you yeah. know, that, like, maybe as an older guy, you're kind of past it. So
the epitome of that is just Will Trapp, because, you know, he's just a huge, like, star, like, he's captained the U.S. men's national
yeah.
team. And so I was kind of afraid when I first saw him, but then you realize, like, this guy is, like, just a connector on the team.
Yeah.
Like, talks to everybody and is super positive and such a nice guy, and, like, will talk trash to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Will's great. I said to him when he came in here that I spent more time with him in the yeah. last month than I've spent with my dad, like, all last year, because I've been on a Zoom with him, and then I did, like, a live podcast with him, and then talking yeah. to him now. But he's such a, like, a sweet, genuine guy yeah. who really wants to, like you said, be a connector and bring a team together.
Yeah. I could see him being a great coach someday.
Yeah. So. Do you have any designs on coaching one day or anything like that?
I mean, maybe for my kids, but I don't okay. think I'm cut out to do it in any other capacity.
Sure.
So
you need good guys to coach the kids as well. So,
yeah.
you know, that's an important part of it too.
Sure.
Excellent. Foster, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And lastly, Patrick Weah is the nephew of soccer legend George Weah and cousin of U.S. men's national team player Timothy Weah, and is also the Loons' second homegrown signing. How's it going? Welcome. To Minnesota United. I mean, you've been here in some ways. You're away for a while now as the second homegrown player for Minnesota United. It's pretty exciting. How's the adjustment been going? How has preseason been for you?
It's been pretty well. I've been learning a lot from the coaches and the guys. The guys are really nice. They're like, they took me under their wings and, like, helping me out. And it's just the one thing that I noticed is, like, the guys are super nice and close. It's like everybody's welcoming me. So I feel really comfortable here.
Nice. Yeah, I feel like there's a good culture of sort of returning vets and then some young guys, and the vets really like working with the younger guys. And it seems like it creates a good energy for the team.
Yes, it does. It does.
How was tell me a little bit about your experience at Minnesota United in the academy. It's obviously a program you were in for, I don't know, how long were you in that program?
7 months.
Okay.
I didn't even know about the program. It was one of my friends that told me that, oh, Minnesota United is having an academy, you should go try out. And Coach Angel, at that point, he's at Austin FC now.
Mm-hmm.
He told me to come, and I tried for them. And I'm just grateful to be at that program, because Coach Angel and Tim Carter took me in and made me a better person, a better soccer player too. So I'm like, without them, this situation wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Dying insane.
Nice. So tell me a little bit about, obviously we haven't gotten too much chance to see training or you know, get in there and see stuff yet because of protocols with COVID and everything like that. Just give me a little bit of a sense about you as a player. Like, what do you bring on the field?
Me, I'm a dynamic player. Like, I'm going at defenders, dribbling, and physical too with the ball. And And my strength is, I would say, is like dynamic with the ball and attacking people and dribbling at them and creating chances for my teammates to win games.
Nice. Have you always been an attacker as far as how you played?
Yeah, I've always been attacking mindset. It's like attack, and score goals and create chances too.
Mm-hmm. And what was your experience at, you were at, what was the
squad? St. Louis.
Okay, I was just looking at it and then I blanked on it. St. Louis. So what was the experience like there for you?
St. Louis University, it was cool. Like, they found out that I was going to go to college, and they took a chance on me.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a chance, they also, like, they wanted me at the program. The coaches, Coach Kellish, Coach Stowe, everybody took me in and made me a better person and a better player, and I'll forever be grateful for them.
Yeah. It seems like, I mean, I think it can seem like stuff goes, it moves quickly. You know, you're at the academy, you're at St. Louis for just a little while, and then you're over here. Does it feel like it moves quickly for you, or, you know, are you just so eager to get going that you just want to keep moving?
Yeah, I'm so eager to get going, like you said, and keep moving and keep learning and keep getting better each and every day.
Yeah. So, you know, you're going to have your first preseason. You're in your first preseason here, going down for some games now in Orlando.
Uh-huh.
Are you looking forward to that? Are you looking forward to the weather, getting down to Orlando? I'll bet that's going to be pretty nice.
No, I'm looking forward to playing. That's all I want to do is play soccer and learn as much as possible and get better. And those games going to help me really get better with playing with, against other MLS teams. It's going to, like, really show me the level. And this is the level I wanted to play. Like, I want to go to Europe, obviously. That's my dream.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, this is the next level, so I need to – that's what I've been dreaming my whole life about. So it's like just playing and learning as much as possible and taking information and applying it.
Yeah, it's certainly there's a step up that goes from just training to going to actually play some games against MLS competition. So it's definitely going to be, it's going to be exciting, I'm sure.
It's going to be exciting and tough.
Yeah, that's awesome. So just on your last thing I wanted to ask you about on your sort of personal tip, like what do you get up to when you're not playing soccer? Obviously, it's incredibly important to you, but, you know, you got to take that time to recover and stuff. What do you do when you're not out there on the pitch?
I'm either watching soccer game, either watching a soccer game, I'm watching YouTube, watching videos, funny videos, or on Twitter, Instagram, or Snapchat,
mm-hmm.
talking to my friends. Sometimes watch Netflix when I'm like, when there's no soccer games on.
Okay. Any good series you can recommend on Netflix you've been watching?
The Blacklist is really good.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one. And Criminal Minds, too, I've been watching. I know everybody knows that. So
it's good to be reminded sometimes, you know. So it's good. It's excellent. Yeah. Well, Patrick, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
All right, thank you.